Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette. Greetings to you, and by the Lord's grace, I am eager to look to the Word of God, to enjoy the precious Word of God with you once again this Lord's Day morning in the preaching and teaching of God's holy and precious Word. May the Lord bless you today, dear friend. Please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, as you are able to. Hear now the word of the Lord, beginning in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemings of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Praise God. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the gracious truth that you bring before us this Lord's Day, that we are to stand, continue to endure, that we are to withstand evil, that we are to stand firm in the grace of God, that we are to overcome the world itself, the fallen, evil world about us, and that we must overcome the sin yet within us, and that we must overcome the very enemy of our souls, the devil and the demons who war and fight and contend with us, tempting us to sin against you and so dishonor you. And so, God, in this great battle, we pray that you will find us, your people, faithful to honor your great name and to turn, truly turn, repent of all of our sins, and so put on the whole armor of God so that we may be able to stand in this great battle and so live forever with you by the precious grace that has come to us through the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, asking these things for the people of God, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. The believer stands. That's a word that means he withstands. He stands firm. It is also a word which means that he endures. The believer endures in this precious life that God has given him through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he overcomes. He survives in war. He has victory. He attains to practical righteousness in his life, and he is glorified in God's precious saving grace. And so believers, you might remember, are those who overcome by the blood and by their testimony, which evidences a truly holy life. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 22, Jesus talks about the person, he talks about himself actually, who is stronger than his enemy and who overcomes his enemy. Praise God. And he mentions that the stronger one will overtake his adversary and plunder his goods. And so the Lord of glory has come with mighty power in his humiliations, born as a man from the Virgin Mary, and he has conquered the devil, the angel that God has created. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "I have overcome the world." And he tells us that we too shall overcome the world because he has overcome the world. We will withstand all that would bring us to death. We shall stand in battle and we shall endure to the end. That is, those who are truly saved in God's grace conquer in this way. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter 2:20 tells us that some who profess faith in Christ are overcome and entangled in sin. They fall away to utter destruction. These are not truly regenerated people. And Revelation 17:14 tells us that the Lamb of God overcomes finally his enemies in every possible sense. Praise the Lord. Revelation 21:7 is the Lord's promise that he who overcomes inherits all things. And we find in 1 John in chapter 2 and also in chapter 4 some rather encouraging verses about the great truth that we must overcome the world. Let me turn there to 1 John chapter 2. Let's look at verse 13 first. 1 John 2, verse 13. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. Notice there that young men overcome the wicked one. This is a reference to various stages in lives. Fathers, the more mature men overcome. The young men here overcome the wicked one. And those who are yet young, the immature in Christ, little children, also overcome. And so at every stage of life, the believer is to overcome. Notice particularly that the young man, oftentimes it is young men who actually fight in wars in this world. Young men, these soldiers, these warriors, if you will, have overcome the wicked one. And in verse 14, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Notice that to know God because and through we know the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, is to also overcome. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Praise God. Again, we who are but flesh and bone and spirit overcome the mighty angel, the wicked one. Praise the Lord. And in 1 John 4, in verse 4, we read that you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And so, praise the Lord, the children of God, the sons of God, overcome the wicked ones. They overcome the world because Christ who is in us is greater than the devil who is in the world. Praise the Lord. And so we see that we must overcome clearly from the scripture. And so in reference, our verses in Ephesians chapter 6 are speaking clearly about this truth that we must overcome, that is, stand against the entrapment of the devil. And I want to share what I believe are encouraging words from a minister, R. Arthur Matthews, about the soldier of the cross. Here's his thoughts. In the fullness of God's time, the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman and the eternal Son of God, was born. As the Son of Man on earth, Jesus was no mere civilian passively suffering the attacks and harassment of Satan. He was the pioneer and captain of our salvation, the original soldier of the cross, pressing forward along the lonely road to victory through the sufferings of death. Nailing his feet to that cross could not prevent him from crushing Satan's head beneath his heel. And with his nail-pierced hands, he tore off from himself the evil powers that attempted to prevent him from ascending to the throne. Now glorified and seated at the Father's right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, Jesus, as Lord of all, is beyond reach of Satan's attacks. The finished work of Calvary is now completely unassailable. Nothing Satan may do can change the finality of the victory stroke that crushed his head. However, the implications of that victory over the powers of evil and its application in the world of men is now in the hands of the church on earth. Consequently, the bitter enmity of Satan is now directed against the church in order to vent his spleen against the head through the members of his body. In his true character as adversary, Satan is very much alive to rob the finished work of Christ of its full effect among men. His fiery darts zero in on the members of Christ's body who have not learned to take their position in the heavenly places, where with Christ by faith they face life without taking to themselves by prayer the whole armor of God. He is especially concerned about those who are proclaiming the good news of the finished work of Christ in earth's dark corners. Praise the Lord. The truth that the Lord, the true soldier of the cross, has conquered in battle, and now, in his rage, the devil wars with the church. And so we must overcome the enemy in this awesome and, yes, difficult warfare in which we stand. I want to transition now a bit and talk about how it is that Christians endure to the end, how it is that we stand finally, that is, we stand to the end. To stand spiritually to the end is to live forever, to be glorified. But the simple truth is that some begin as soldiers of Christ, profess to know God, but do not endure to the end. Hence, we have the threatenings and warnings of God given in the New Testament, particularly, that we must endure to the end. Praise the Lord. That is, we must stand today, we must stand every day in the grace of God, and we must stand until the end. Jesus tells us in Matthew 10:22 that the man who endures to the end shall be saved. Again, many begin but do not continue. They do not endure to the end. And so we must see to it that we endure to the end. And there is an end coming. There is a great harvest at the end of the world. There is an end, a sure end coming. We see that in Matthew 13 in verse 49. Praise God. In Matthew 24:13, Jesus tells us once again that he is saved who shall endure to the end. And in context, in Matthew 24, we find that there are great, severe troubles that the Christian soldier must overcome. He must endure unto the end through many great trials, through many great struggles, many great difficulties and tribulations in the last days. Praise God. And so it is. Jesus will return. The kingdom shall come, the eternal kingdom that has no end. Praise God. And those who have endured to the end are blessed with eternal, never-ending life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So we see two truths, two great dynamics in Scripture. Those who are truly born again, who are truly regenerated, are preserved in God's grace. They are truly held in the gracious work of God. They are preserved in this sense so that they will not fall away. We see that 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18 says, "And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Praise God. So the promise of eternal life is a very real, a very true promise. That is, never-ending life, life in which the believer cannot be separated from Christ by anything, by all of the evil in the world. Praise God. And so we are preserved in grace. We have eternal life. No one can take us out of Christ's hand. No one can take us out of the Father's hand. We are glorified. We see that great truth in many places, and we are encouraged by it. Praise God. Another truth that we see constantly in the Scripture is that believers in Christ who are preserved in grace are encouraged, admonished to endure to the end or to stand. Praise God. To endure to the end, to stand. Praise the Lord. And so, my friends, we find that We must endure in the grace of God. We must continue. And though tribulations are severe, 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 4 says that we must endure these things. We must continue in Christ with these things. That we must set our countenance for God. We must endure all difficulties. We must endure chastening. Praise God. We must endure the struggle of life to attain to the crown that endures forever. We thank God that His mercy endures forever. We see that repeatedly in Scripture. And the precious mercy that has blessed us, that is the covenant love of God, the strong, steadfast covenant love of God that we enjoy in the New Testament, is an everlasting mercy. Praise God. And yet so it is that as we hope all things, we must also endure all things in God's love. Praise God. We must endure to everlasting life. And in this endurance, we are responsible to obey God that we may endure. And one of God's great instructions to us that we do endure, we see repeatedly in these verses I have cited, the idea of the truth that we must endure. We are instructed to endure. We are commanded to endure. We are responsible to endure. Here in Ephesians 6, we endure as we take up the whole armor of God and pray. And so let me encourage you, dear friend, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and endure, stand to the very end of the conflict, and so have the blessing of glorification. Receive this blessing from the very hand of God. We must stand. We are commanded to stand. Those who do stand, praise God, shall live forever in the kingdom of God's grace. Amen. I want to quickly share an encouragement with those of you who could call yourselves faint-hearted soldiers in just a bit. But right now, I want to share with you a testimony. I believe that this will encourage and help you. This is the testimony of a good friend of mine. It's a real story, a true story of a friend in America, a member of our church in America. He served as a soldier many years ago, some decades ago, in a war in which America was engaged called the Vietnam War. And his remarkable testimony has been written about. I have a piece before me, I'm holding it in my hands, called The Perilous Path. And this is his story. This is the story of Jack, let's call him Jack, and his search for life's meaning. He was a survivor in this very bloody war in which many American soldiers were killed. That is the Vietnam War. And let me share Jack's own words about his life story. As a teenager during the early 1960s, I considered myself a tough guy. I ran with a street gang in Niles, Illinois, called the Tri-M's, made up of fellows from the area's three main township high schools. My father had died when I was 5, and my mother, who remarried when I was 11, didn't have much control over me. I was in and out of trouble many times. I had been an altar boy in a Catholic church, but I gave no thought to God as I grew older. The gang was the big thing in my life and was to have an influence on me even as an adult. As the war in Vietnam escalated in 1965, at age 17, I joined the Navy. But a year later, a buddy persuaded me to switch to the Marine Corps. And after boot camp in San Diego, I went to the Philippines for jungle training. By early 1967, with the U.S. and the Communists pushing their fighting forces into East Asia, I suddenly was in the thick of things as a point man in the Marine infantry. From the beginning of Vietnam, my life was at stake on a daily basis. I saw men falling on every side in action against the Viet Cong. Our unit, the 1st Battalion, 9th Marines, became known as the Walking Dead because we had more men killed and wounded than any other Marine outfit. Though on the streets of my hometown I had known no fear, jungle warfare terrified me. When a fellow Marine fell, I often said to myself, "Why this guy and not me?" I began thinking about God and death and dying. I wondered what would happen to me if I were killed. I believed in heaven and hell. Where would I end up? I tried to make bargains with God. "God, please let me live and I'll try to get to know you. God, if you protect me and get me home, I'll go to church." However, when I returned, I forgot my promises to God. I pushed him out of my mind and went right back running with the tri-M's, drinking, doing drugs, and getting involved in pornography. And Jack continues in his testimony to talk about how it is that after this time of service, let me just mention that as a point man, he was the very first soldier leading his group of soldiers into the enemy's area of influence. And so most point men, being the very first soldier to appear, were often killed. Jack, by God's marvelous grace, survived as a point man in this group, which is well known, the 9th Marines, the 1st Battalion, the Walking Dead. This was a very courageous group of soldiers, and Jack, as a point man, was a very courageous soldier. He was decorated for his courage, and by God's mercy, survived this terrible and bloody conflict in which he saw many, many, many of his fellow soldiers die in battle, often in very painful deaths in this very bloody conflict. So Jack was very troubled by the things he experienced in the Vietnam War. In fact, we have a very great problem today that many of the soldiers of that generation who fought in Vietnam today are so troubled that they are not able to cope well in life. Many of them have become homeless men. They are like street kids. They have lost the ability to cope well in life, many because of the great stresses that they experienced in the Vietnam War. And Jack has shared with me that he too is still troubled by the stress, as he was exposed to many carcinogenic materials in the warfare. And so it was such a great stressful time that many of these men can simply not get away from this war experience in their hearts and minds. But by the grace and the will and the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jack, who had married a delightful woman, was encouraged by her to attend a ministry event, and by God's marvelous grace, Jack surrendered his troubled life, his broken, pain-filled life to the Lord Jesus Christ, was marvelously saved in the grace of God, and was transformed and is still being transformed in the marvelous grace of God. And this survivor of the Vietnam War, this really tough soldier who killed many of the enemy and fought for his life and endured in this terrible agony, this bloody struggle, today is a soldier of the cross too. He is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this tough warrior has become a gentle soldier, a loving and kind soldier of the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Jack is a lovely, wonderful Christian man, and he often shares with students in schools and with others in churches and in various types of meetings about the marvelous grace of God in his life that has changed him. And it is my real joy and pleasure to consider him a friend, firstly a brother in Christ. Jack often encourages me in my walk with the Lord, and so God has helped him greatly in his marriage and his family, blessed with a delightful, beautiful wife. They have a good relationship now. Though Jack would share with us, if he were speaking today to you, that life at times is not easy for him, in a great measure because of this great stress, the bloody conflict in which he was involved, Yet nevertheless, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is truly sufficient, and he overcame, praise God, and overcomes today in the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this soldier survived an actual bloody warfare, a horrifying experience, and now has been made by the grace of God a soldier of Jesus Christ and conquers in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jack has a good walk with the Lord. He reads the Word of God often. He is obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. He remembers the great truths of the gospel. He believes them. He takes up the armor of God. He is a prayerful brother. And so, praise the Lord, he stands today now as a soldier in the love of God. And he conquers and overcomes. And so, simply by illustration, the actual soldier becomes a soldier of Jesus Christ and now stands in spiritual battle. Now, I am thinking that my description of the terrors of war, the Vietnam War, for instance, may be intimidating for some of my listeners today. I believe that there are faint-hearted soldiers who are listening, and I want to encourage you, my dear friend, praise God, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, this love of God which enables us to stand, is called strong grace by Paul. In his writing to the minister Timothy, who was by nature a timid man, that is, he was not bold and courageous by nature, that God gives strong grace to his people. And so Paul's encouragement to Timothy is that there is strong grace and love that will enable him to be bold and stand in the warfare. And that's my encouragement to you today. Perhaps by nature, you are like Timothy. Perhaps by nature, you are a gentle, kind, and loving person. Being a soldier or standing in battle is difficult for you. Let me encourage you that we stand in the marvelous grace of God. And his grace is truly strong, truly sufficient. So those of us who really are very weak in ourselves, weakness itself, if you will, are given such grace from the marvelous Lord Jesus Christ that we endure and stand in his grace. And so let me encourage you, take courage, dear faint-hearted soldier of the cross. Stand today in the love of God. Stand tomorrow in the love of God. Stand to the end in the love of God. And by God's marvelous grace, you shall stand. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, thank you for the precious word we've received today. I thank you for my friend, Jack. And I pray once again for your grace and blessing for my dear brother in Christ. And I pray that you would, even at this moment, at this time, fill his heart with joy unspeakable, full of glory and the love and peace, the kindness and compassions of God. And I pray that too, Lord, for my listeners today, perhaps especially for the faint-hearted soldiers of the cross, that you would bless them in the compassions and tender mercies, the everlasting mercy of the eternal Lamb of God, who overcame the evil one because of his love for his Father, praise God, and because of his love for us. And so thank you, Lord. Thank you that we overcome in the grace and the love of God and so stand in battle. And we thank you for the precious word of God. Bless it to our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.